Well, what did you give the creative team a hand as they take a seat to the person next to you? And say it's almost Christmas. Who can believe it's almost Christmas? My son, I heard my son talking to my wife, Marianne, and he said, this year has gone quicker than it did last year. It's true, isn't it? As you get older, the years get quicker. Who agrees? When you're a kid, it seemed like your year would stretch for forever. I don't know, maybe it was the school holidays that you did nothing, or, but it just seems like now I cannot believe we're standing in December heading towards Christmas. I feel like we were just here last year. And, well, what do you think of our carols last night? You know what? In 7 years, we've been washed out. This was twice. But let me just acknowledge the blessing. We don't pay for a cent of it. So I know the budget is over $40,000, so that our council pay for it. So it's a huge blessing, especially when you stand and you put that much effort into it and it gets washed out. You thank God that you're not paying the bill. Amen? So you, the rate payers, who lives in Rockdale, raise your hand. You paid for it. I live in Blakehurst, therefore it wasn't our council. It's all your rates. So, but good to the team. They practiced right up to the last point, and we set up, and we're holding on by faith, even though it was torrential rain. And that's life, isn't it? When you do outdoor events, I think every church I've ever been a part of that's had an outdoor carols that's been washed out at least once or twice. Who's doing good? Turn the person next to you to say, you are looking fine. Our next program for teenagers is going right now, so make sure you get out to that. I've been on a series for a while on the topic has been freedom. And we've covered a lot of topics. We spent a bit of time on forgiveness, a few weeks on rejection. I can't remember all the topics now. There's been quite a few. And a few weeks ago, I started on a topic of finances. Money. Everyone say money. Just say it out loud. Because quite often everyone thinks it's kind of a dirty word in church, but everyone just say money. The reality is, when it comes to finance, it's a huge topic. And just to give you some idea, the stats are 50% of couples that divorce is because of financial issues or stress that's brought into the house and the relationship. Nasty. 70% of newlyweds, that's the issue of their arguments in the first year of marriage. Who can remember that? If you've first year of marriage, you argued more about money than anything else, raise your hand. Quite a few hands up around this place. But yet it's something that, to be honest, this time of year for us as a church, our numbers swell when it comes to our food care. It starts to pick up. Some of it's to do with the weather as well, but the expectations on this time of year are quite large. True? If you're a solo mum or you're someone that's just trying to survive, you've got a few kids, comes to Christmas time and suddenly it becomes apparent what you don't have. I mean, every mum in this place, I'm sure, or dad wants to give their kids and bless their kids. Amen? And this is where these sort of areas become quite prominent, and it's quite a huge area right across our community. Finance is a big area, and the Bible has a lot to say about finance. Let me just jump through. I don't think we'll get to this in detail, but let me just read out some stats. Just for a second, just talk amongst yourselves. Just talking about the topic of finance. the reality is that in the Bible there are, the Bible talks more about money than faith. Did you know that? There are 215 verses pertaining to faith. There are 218 verses pertaining to salvation. And there are 2,058 dealing with finance and money. That's quite big, isn't it? So it's an area that I think for us as a church, for us as believers, more than anything, we should be waiting on God's understanding and revelation of what to do with a huge area of our life that dictates, for a lot of us in this room, most of our days. I mean, if you've got the luxury to stay at home and play Xbox all day, or watch reruns of, I don't know, whatever you watch these days, and you don't have to think about finance, but for most of us in this room, we've got to think about it, we've got to plan for it, we've got to organize it, and it dictates a lot of our lives. So a few weeks ago, I started just by talking about God's foundation when it comes to finance. And you've got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And we looked at a foundation. We went all the way back to the way that we are created. And the way that we are created, there was three things that God asked us to do, or three things intents for us. Number one, he created us in his image and likeness. So we've got to draw on that. The world wants to give us so many different images, but we've got to constantly go to the Word of God to get the image for the way that God wants us to be, the way we need to think, the way we need to act, how we need to respond. It's that image that God has created. He's given us his Word. That's why you need to read the Word more regularly. Amen? Because if you read the Word for a bit and then you spend all day watching TV and you watch how the Kardashians live and you watch how, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some other people that it might be slightly relevant. Or if you think of how the rich and famous live, or you think of how someone lives, some other part of society, that image starts to wear off on you and it starts to affect who you are. But the reality is that God wants us to live in his image. And when you read the Word of God, it is constantly going to challenge you to live God's way. Amen? It'll give you a fresh image about every aspect of your life. So that's the first thing. God created us to be in his image and likeness. Then God says, step two is this, then God blessed them. So he creates us in his image and likeness. Then he blessed them. He blessed us. And for us to be a believer in this place, the revelation is that the source of your blessing is God. Come on. The world won't tell you that. The world won't give you that revelation. It won't say that, hey, God's involved in finance. That's why the world doesn't like us talking about finance. The enemy doesn't like us talking about finance, because God created us to be blessed by him. He is the source of our blessing. And when you have God as your source, there's so much protection. I've said this before a few weeks ago, but the reality is if you're wealthy and you understand God is your source, it's going to protect you. And if you are someone that's in lack and need and you understand that God is your source, it's going to protect you. Amen? When you understand that. And then step three in this, we see that Genesis, it says, be fruitful. It says, God said, he blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. To be fruitful and multiply. And you know what? I believe for us and our finances and who we are as believers, we've got to understand, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, and if you haven't heard that, jump onto our podcast and catch yourself up. But to be fruitful and multiply, and actually for us as believers, and I'm going to get a little bit confrontational here, we've actually got to sit back and think, if we're not being fruitful and we're not multiplying, then what's wrong? Amen? Come on. If I said to you that your marriage wasn't blessed, you'd go to a, and that you're having struggles in it, we'd send you to a counselor, we'd send you to someone who's going to look inside your marriage and have a chat with them. And if you've got, if you're not blessed in the way you think of yourself, your identity, and you're always insecure, then we send you someone to help, and someone works with you to help you understand how God has created you and made you. And there's so many other areas I could tap into, but sometimes in the area of finance, if you're not being fruitful, multiplying, it's the way God designed you, there's something wrong, amen? And it's time to see God's blessing and God's way of thinking enter into that area of your life, amen? Freedom is something that's so amazing. And next year, I'll tell you why, we're going to do a lot of things around freedom in this church. We'll talk more about that in our vision for next year. But I really believe that there are some things that we can do to set people free in areas of their life. And I'll tell you what, finance is a huge one. Amen? There are many people in this world, and unfortunately, you know, we wouldn't need programs like we've got right now and right across our state if people had this sort of freedom. But the fact is, there is so much need for God in these areas. So if that's the way God created us, if he created us in his image and likeness, if he created us, he said, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless you. Therefore, and he said, then he said, you need to be fruitful and multiply, because in that fruitfulness and multiplication is your purpose. Come on. If you're not blessed and you don't have the resource and the source, then you can't do what God's called you to do. Amen? Are you with me? And it talks about having dominion. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest areas that attacks the church and the people in the church and robs purpose is debt. Hello? We talk about sin. We talk about unforgiveness. We talk about rejection. We talk about all these areas. They're all key. But I tell you what, debt's also a huge one. Amen? How many people would be doing a lot more with what they were doing and their purpose if they didn't have so much debt? Amen? Come on. So these are the areas that in life I think we've got to make sure that we tackle. So Genesis chapter 1 is really, that's the foundation, I believe. It's going back to the basics of working out how we were created. But I want to step us through another verse that I believe is absolutely key to bring freedom into our finances. Just like breakthrough in many areas of our life, breakthrough is a key component to anyone's life. If you get a breakthrough in a relationship, in rejection, in self-esteem, in forgiveness, if you get a breakthrough, there's freedom that comes into your life and it allows you to live the way that God meant you to live. Amen? And the next scripture I want to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Maybe we can put that up on the screen if we can. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 to 9. Got your Bible? Who's got the Bible? The electronic Bible? Go with me. This is the passage we're going to use. So be good with you to get there and come there with me. One of the greatest areas, I think, when it comes to finance is really just correcting our thinking and correcting the way God has designed us and designed us to live. And it says, and God is able to make all grace. Everyone say, all grace. Come on, say it with conviction. All grace. That's better. Abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. There's a lot of people, I believe, that are trapped by debt, are trapped by their finances. And maybe it's just they're in a place of lack, or they're just in a place of uncontrollable debt. I actually don't hate debt. There is, I believe, from my understanding of the Word of God, that there is good debt that you can have that's working for you, and then there's debt that's out of control. Amen? There are some people out there who don't believe in borrowing anything. And, well, that's their revelation of it. But I believe you can, but there's something that's out of control and then there's something that's in control. Are you with me? And that's, look, you could sit there and debate about that for years, but the difference, well, I think what we both agree on is when someone's out of control, when you are just chasing something and not getting anywhere, and you're pedaling, and you're like you're treading water, and you're going nowhere, and in fact, you're actually going backwards, that affects your life. Amen? And a lot of people feel hopeless, and they feel that these areas are dominating who they are, and it brings control into their world. Because finance, there's two things about finance. Finance, number one, it wants to control. Finance is something that constantly battles for control of you. And it wants to control and it wants to take focus. And the Bible talks about mammon. And it says that we can't worship it because if you worship finance, if you give it it's an opportunity, it'll seek to control your world, your life, how you act, how you respond, and everything. You can't open the door to it and just give it life in your world without understanding how God wants you to have control and dominion over it. Amen? It's not one of those things that you think you can control without God. Because if you haven't got God and a revelation over your finances, then I can tell you that it's working 24/7 to take control of your world. Not for good, but for its purposes. That's why the Bible talked about it being a spirit of mammon. It talked about it being something. It has a personality. It has a life. And if it doesn't take long to go out of this world and to see that the majority of the world around us are serving a spirit, true, that has a lot of control of their lives. So we notice, first of all, what Paul starts with in this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You know, the first thing I want to open up and say is that in this area of finance, God releases grace. Now, you might think, oh, yeah, that's great. It's just a word, all grace abound toward you. But I tell you what, grace is something so incredibly powerful. And if you're anyone in this room and you're believing for a breakthrough in your life, you're believing for a change to happen in your life that'll take you out of a way of living or who you are and a change, you need grace. The only reason you're a believer in this place, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the difference between what you were and the difference between what you are now is something called grace. Amen? And if you acknowledge that and you responded to that and you knew what that was when you came down the front and you gave your life to Christ or however you did it, you acknowledge that the grace of God is something that it's unmerited favor, it's something you don't deserve, but you have. Amen? And when that came into your life in salvation, it means you had eternity. It means that your sins were washed away. You couldn't do anything to wash your sins away, but Jesus did. And it's the grace over your life that changes everything. Well, the most amazing thing about this is the Apostle Paul talks about how he enters this area of things and finances. He starts with grace. You know what? Well, that immediately should put for everyone in this room, no matter where you're up to with your finances, where you are, there should be instant hope in the fact that there is grace released towards you and your finances. Amen? For you as a sinner in this place, you know, when I first acknowledged Christ as my Lord and Savior and realized who I was and realized by the grace of God I could be seen before God, I could be righteous before Him, it exploded in my heart. I remember that feeling. Well, the fact is you need to realize that God actually wants and is open towards you, grace towards your financial area of your life. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. But I got to say with you, grace is a choice. True? God's grace is on every single human being on this earth for salvation. I can tell you that. But it's only going to be activated when a human being chooses it. True? When Jesus died on the cross, he released grace right across every man, every child, every single human being. But the fact is, a human being had to put their hand up and go, do you know what? I need to accept that I need to be forgiven. And I need to accept the grace of God and I enter into that doorway of salvation. Amen? And I actually believe when it comes to this area of finance, it's something that you actually got to stand back and go, do you know what, God? I need to change the way I think. Because if we are created to live the way God's made us to, created us to live, and if we want to see God's grace flood into our financial world, then we've got to actually understand, and we've got to think, do it. Sometimes maybe you don't need this. Maybe you're flowing beautifully, but maybe you're not, and maybe it's time to do a 180-degree turnaround and say, do you know what, God? I need to bring my financial world under your grace, under your way of doing things. Amen? Gone quiet on me. Are you still there? That word grace means God is able to make all favor, all liberty come towards you. That is God's intention. It means unmerited favor. So if you have allowed your finance to come under something else, well, you're not partaking of that. But when we understand that this is God's protection for us, and let me just sit there for a little bit, because I could tell you, we've seen some protection over Marianne and myself's finance that has astounded us and has only ever been by the grace of God. We're honestly just not that smart. We've seen, and I won't go into details, but we've seen stuff like family homes and inheritances and things just being absolutely protected, and we've moved on things and God's told us to move, and we're seeing God's grace. And even now we're just looking back on some things that God has done in our finances and we're shaking our heads. We did what God told us to do in a time, and we look back on it, we've gone, oh my goodness, if we didn't do it exactly how God told us to do it, we wouldn't have experienced the grace that's on it. Amen? I look back on it and I just think, we're just not that smart. Seriously. Maybe a lot of you are. But I tell you what, God is running, his grace is running overtime in our lives. Amen? And I don't know about you, look, work it out, but if you are incredibly organized and proficient and you know it all, well, if you're not, you just hold on to how God tells you to do it. Do it his way and take the challenges and do the things he tells you to do. And by the grace of God, you'll see God turn some things around. Amen? It doesn't mean you don't work. It doesn't mean you don't attack things that you're doing wrong and you stand against things. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, I love that there is grace over my finance because I know I need it. I need it in every area of my life. We've got a family home by the grace of God. We've got so many things by the grace of God. Amen? He's the source. I love this. 2 Corinthians continues. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Keep looking at this passage. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. Wow, what a promise. Come on. All sufficiency. Come on. Say it with me. All sufficiency. Now, I've been around the church long enough for someone to jump up and go, see, God doesn't want you to be blessed. He wants you just to have enough. It's sufficiency. Just sufficient. So is sufficient just the clothes? You don't need a house. You don't need anything else. You just need what you've got on your back as long as you're sufficient. Well, the Word of God actually doesn't say that. It says all sufficiency for what? For all things. Right? Now, if you actually get to know God a little bit, you realize that your world is not about just your world. Amen? And when God says all sufficiency for all things, he's not just talking about you and your little family and just yourself, but he's talking about everything else that you're connected to. Amen? Your church, that welfare thing down the road, the things, your family, your relatives, the people around you. Amen? all sufficient for you all things. He's not just talking about just you. We get this mentality, but if you read the Word of God, God is never on just about you. You aren't the most important person in the world when you get a hold of God's Word. He says you can love yourself as much as you love your neighbors. Amen? So if you hate your neighbors, what's going on with you? True? I think we've got to realize that when we see God's Word, there's always a purpose to what we're doing. And this passage is trying to teach us the way that God wants us to bring purpose and bring freedom into our finances. The grace of God is there for your finances. If you need grace in your finances, raise your hand. If you don't, good luck. Work it out yourself. See how you go with salvation as well. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. Always, the key words in this passage are always sufficiency in all things. If you actually look at it, the word all is in there quite a bit, right? That you always having all sufficiency in all things. It's almost like you should draw a circle around your life and go, what are we called to be sufficient for? Seriously, I'm honest. Because if you're thinking just yourself, then you're not thinking God. True? Come on. I mean, if someone comes to you and if there's someone in need, if there's an area in need and you haven't got sufficiency for it, well, then God says you should. True? So you've actually got to push yourself outside of yourself. And I think that's the way that the enemy wants you to think just about yourself and not about everything else that's going on around you. Amen? But God's called you to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. His word is never just about you. It's about God working through you to get to other people and other things that are going on around you. Amen? So don't use that word sufficiency. But let's keep reading. Just in case that word sufficiency is a word that you're okay with and you go, well, pastor's wrong. It's just sufficiency. I'm just going to have just what I need and that's what God's ever going to give me. He's just going to give me what I need. Well, let's just keep reading. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always, everyone say always. Always means always. So if you're in a place of need right now and you're going, I don't know if God's going to protect me. I don't know if I'm going to get what I need right now. Well, that word always, actually, when you look it up in the Greek, it actually means always. Amen? There's huge protection in that. Always. How many times? I mean, I can think of the amount of times that we've been in need of finance for Marianne and myself. And I can actually say he's always been there. Always. We've had weird things. We've had someone stuff money into our hands. We've had letters turn up. We've had all sorts of weird and wonderful and back checks and tax checks and things came back that we didn't even know of. And if something comes back from the tax department, that's a miracle. That's right up there. It's parting the Red Sea. That's huge. And I can just look back and it's either been food or something or things or whatever. God, and always, all sufficiency. Are you with me? Okay, so let's keep going. All sufficiency in all things. Then we go to the next part. May have an abundance. Everyone say abundance. So we're going from sufficiency to abundance, right? For every good work. So if you've got a problem with thinking about efficiency, then just camp on abundance for a second. And just think if you can work that out to mean just barely getting by. Look up the word. Do you want to know what abundance means? Enough and to spare. Uh-oh. That's ruined it. You can't camp on the fact that it's just enough for you. It says enough and to spare, exceed, excel, increase, be in excess. Oh. You've got to have a revelation that God is leading us to a place of abundance. It's where God wants your finances to be. Amen? And this is something that, you know what? It's something, it's no use you trying to get freedom in your finances if you don't believe God does this. Is that okay? Seriously. If you're turning up to church every week and you might be tithing and giving to God, but if you're not believing for God to do this in your world, then that's kind of nuts, right? It's like you turning up in some other area of your life and never trying to get help and never trying to get a revelation that will change the way you think. But if you actually start to believe this stuff, it changes the way you pray. It changes the way you're at home. And if you are in a place of need, you're going to say, God, by the grace, your grace is over our finances, God. This is out of our hands. Okay, we might not deserve it. We don't have all the merited favor, but God, by grace, God, we need you to step in right now. And when you start to understand that, then that opens the door to God bringing through revelations in this area. You know what? The Bible is a lot about what you are expecting and believing. True? Someone once said, you know, I was thinking about this. Look, the devil believes in God. But he's never accepted Christ. Amen? Are you with me? So we've got a world out there that, you know, and there's errors of the Word of God where you've got to accept and you've got to bring this revelation into your life. So it says here, enough, this word abundance, may have abundance for every good work. Well, there's the key for every good work. That word good means benefit, distinguished, upright, honorable. That word works means labor, enterprise, business, undertaking. Then let's go on to verse 9 just for a second. We're going to add another verse to it. Can we go to verse 9? Because God actually will pull through his word. God actually gives us a little bit of a definition. He says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Amen? And I love that because he said he has, but God has God? And he says, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, have you seen God personally wander around giving out to the poor? Outside of Jesus, of course. The reality is his church has, we have. Amen? He being us, through his intent, through his heart, through his purpose, through his calling, he's called churches, he's called individuals to go out there and create things for his cause, to do what he wants to do because that's his purpose. He wants good works. Everyone say good works. That's why I believe the church and what we do with God is huge, because there's three parts of it. He's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. When you get involved with the church, we don't just carry food to the poor, but our heart for the people out there is not just to meet their needs, but it's to bring in righteousness. Amen? And you have to pray for people like Joe down the back there, who's getting at least one salvation every week and getting people healed through our food, community food care, amen, and others. Come on. On Sunday, I'll get her up here just to tell testimony after testimony of what God is doing through these people, because we're not just carrying the food, we're actually carrying righteousness, amen. So what is the real message here as we close? The real meaning of God's abundance in our lives. Maybe the music team could come up. Do you know what it is? It's God's work done by abundant people. That's what it comes down to. What it comes down to, right across what God wants to do in your life and your finance and wants to do with your, for us as the church and for us as individuals, is God wants to work through your abundance. Amen. His desire is not for you just to be someone that stays in a place of lack and can't do anything and can't resource or can't do what God's called us to do. But God wants to work out of the abundance of his people. He wants in that place is the work that he's called us to do. And he wants us to open the door to that area of our lives, not for just ourselves, but for those around us. Now, it might be a cliche, but I say it all the time up here. God is making us and wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing. But the reality is that is the purpose. And for you to stand in the way of God's abundance is to actually say, God, I don't want the abundance because I don't want to do what you want to do. Amen? Come on, think about it. I'm being a little bit confrontational here. But if you start saying, you know what, I don't believe in this abundance. I don't believe in that because, well, God's saying, well, I created you to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. I've created you to have abundance because my work needs to be done. And if you stand here as a believer and look out across this earth and you can't see that we need to do more, amen? Now, I've met some great givers in this church, and I've met some great givers over my lifetime. And you know what? I've met some guys, honestly, in complete abundance, and the more they give out, the more they get. And they actually live in quite a huge overflow. But they just keep giving. Are you with me? I remember standing with a couple of gentlemen that kicked off Gloria Jeans many years ago. Two of them, they had their very first store. And I remember him standing up there, a guy called Nabi Saleh, and he said, for the reason we've created this franchise is to bless the church and to fulfill God's kingdom. Well, the thing just went boom. And what I want to start with you is maybe, just maybe your finance hasn't had purpose. Are you with me? Maybe your purpose has been wrong. It doesn't matter how much you have. The widow's mite, she knew what she was giving. It doesn't matter. God doesn't ever look at the amount. It's what you're doing with it. It's the purpose you have for it. And if you give that purpose to God, you go, do you know what, God? This is all we've got, but we're going to purpose our finances for the kingdom. And you can open a door. It's never about, I'm never going to tell you exactly how much to give. We're never going to find out that detail about you. But it's something you've got to decide in your life. You want to bring freedom? Freedom comes when you understand there is a purpose. Amen? If you're insecure in this place, then freedom in your insecurity allows you to be who God's called you to be. Amen? Maybe you're held back. You're fear of man. You can't witness. You can't talk to people about God because of insecurity. When you get free, God gets free in you. His purpose gets freed in you. Amen? When you get free in your finance, God's purpose gets freed in your finance. Amen. You should be marching up and down saying, God, I don't have enough money to be abundant right now. Forget about the rent, God. I know the rent's a struggle right now, but God, I'm supposed to be more than that. And God, I need, give me some purpose, God. You need purpose to what you're doing. It needs to be in your day. It needs to be in your thoughts. It needs to be every area of your life. We need purpose. Are you with me? Say amen. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Do you know what? Are you doing all that you have purpose to do in your life? When it comes to the area of what you want to do for God, is finance holding you back? If it's holding you back, it's an area that you need to believe God to change and bring some purpose into what you're doing. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. We're abundant to be a blessing. If you believe it, say amen. If your finance is all about what God wants to do with you, you're going to attract God's grace all over your finance. Amen? Seriously. But if your world is all about just you and you leave it outside of that and you don't have any connected purpose to what you do, then I think you're walking outside of God's grace zone. Amen? When you gave your life to Christ, it was all about Jesus. Amen? It wasn't about you. You did nothing. You received everything. But I believe there's purpose that gets released into you when you decide as a family. If you're a mum and dad and you're struggling, you say, do you know what, honey? We're going to purpose our finance. We're going to We're going to pray for God's grace to be released over our household, over our finances. We're going to start giving towards God's purpose, start to allow God to come in. And whatever it starts with, who cares? Start somewhere and start seeing God bring His grace and His mercy over as you purpose to connect with what He's doing. Amen. And head towards what God, where God wants you to be in this place. Come on, if you need grace over your finances, raise your hands to God. Come on. Close your eyes in this place. Speak down a little bit. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. God, we just thank You. We thank You for Your grace. That Your word says, God, that You... Your grace abounds towards us. And God, I pray for every one of us in this place that, God, that we would see our financial world. We would connect it to Your purpose, God, to Your world, to Your good works, God, to what You want us to do, God. That we would realize the protection we have by Your grace, God, that it settles on our finances, that Your word says that we will have all sufficiency in all things at all times. I speak it over every household, every life in this place, God, as we purpose to bring ourselves under Your grace, God, and to allow our finances to be affected. God, fill us with purpose, Father God. God, in this place, there are dreams of what people could do, Father God, for Your kingdom, the works that they could do, the things that could be birthed out of this place, God. And God, we pray, Father God, for that grace upon all our finances in the name of Jesus. So we accept Your purpose, as we accept that in Genesis it says that, God, You created us in Your image and likeness, and that You blessed us, and that You called us to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. We thank You, God. We correct ourselves to the way that You have raised us, the way of You have made us, God. And we accept that revelation of our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Last thing I want to do, just close your eyes for a moment. This is by no means a tag on to the end of this, but this is the most important part. And I just want to pause for a moment and just ask every single person in this room whether or not you have committed your life to Christ. Just think it. Be brutally selfish for a moment. Just think about yourself for a moment. I know I've talked against that. But do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because one day you have to give an account for your life, and it'll be about no one else around you. It'll be about yourself. It'll be about what you have committed to and what decision that you have made. And this morning I'm just asking, do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, that you've given your life to Him, that eternity is placed in your heart, that heaven is a part of your destiny? If you have any doubt about that, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'm going to ask everyone else to pray this prayer. But I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. So we're going to do that right now. Come on, Christians praying, but if you never prayed this prayer, pray it with conviction. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept You today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that You died on the cross for me, that You have taken away my sin and all my wrongdoing and replaced it with Your grace and Your mercy. I ask for my forgiveness of my sin, and I accept Your grace. And I accept today that I'm a child of God, that eternity is placed in my heart, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I am a believer. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just one moment longer, one moment. If you prayed that for the first time, or maybe as a rededication, come on, lift your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to get someone just to have a chat with you afterwards. If you pray that as the first time, as a rededication, just lift one hand up so I can see it. We're going to get someone to have a chat with you. Spirit of God. Amen. And everybody said, Well, we're a little bit over, so we're not going to do any more music. But I'd like to finish on time. But thank you very much for being here. God bless you. Have a great rest of your sunny afternoon. And don't forget, next week is our Hamper Sunday. So come ready for some extra time to do that. God bless you all. Thank you, church.